Welcome to Fresh Perspective, a podcast presented by Recycling Today. Featuring young professionals in the recycling industry, Fresh Perspective offers insights from the next generation of industry leaders. Guests tell what led them into the recycling industry, discuss emerging technology, and share their perspectives on ever-evolving industry trends. Fresh Perspective is beginning an ongoing dialogue with the future executives of the recycling industry. Hello and welcome to Fresh Perspective. My name is Tess Kasdan with Recycling Today, and joining me on the podcast, we have Brandon Sacca of Axiom Metals. How are you, Brandon?
Hey, Tess. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. I wanted to start off by asking you if you could give me a brief description of your current position at Axiom Metals.
Yeah, so I've been with Axiom for about 6 years, and my official title is Metal Trader. Just as of January 1st, I've actually taken over the role of head of export sales for the most part. But I'm doing a lot of business domestically as well, but I'm overseeing most of the export stuff.
So you've been in this role, did you say, since the 1st of January?
Yeah, so head of export since January, and I've been a trader for about 4 to 5 years now. I kind of started off in the logistics department and kind of learning about the company and what was going on, and then kind of transitioned into the trader role.
What, for this most recent transition to head of exports, what has that transition looked like for you, given your responsibilities that you previously had just as a trader?
Yeah, so my mentor, her name is Andrea Woods. I kind of worked as like her second hand for the last couple years. So it was easier than I thought it would be, I guess you would say, kind of transitioning into the role, because she was such a great teacher. So I would back her up when she wasn't in the office and whatnot. So I already had a strong foundation. So the transition's been easy. But, you know, with everything going on in the world right now, you know, I would say things today look way different than they did 6 months ago or even a year. So it's a lot of learning on the fly, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what does your day-to-day look like, given your role in the company?
Each day is definitely a little different right now. I'd say I'd probably each morning I start with whatever the most recent news is right now. Different things that are published overnight and whatnot change our industry so much and change markets. So it's a lot of kind of just staying up to date with current events and what's going on. My day really depends on whether the market's up or down, or you know, the arbitrage is in or out. So it's a lot of just kind of evaluating and a lot of math involved right now, which is always a good time.
Yeah, I bet. So I wanted to kind of transition then and ask you, you've been with Axiom for, you know, quite some time now. What did your transition into the recycling industry look like, and how did you come into that first like logistics role with Axiom?
So I actually have a funny start to being in the industry. I am a second generation recycling kid, like a lot of us. So my dad was in the industry, and I was in my junior year of college, actually. And to graduate from my university, I had to have a business internship. And I'm kind of getting down to the nitty gritty. It's the last summer because I put it off a little bit. And I was applying places, and just like every other business major, you never really want to take an internship where you work for free. But a lot of us have to. And so I was going back and forth with my options. And my dad reached out to me, actually, because one of his suppliers was looking for just some like labor help in the yard. But I wasn't really sure, what I was going to do. And so I gave the guy a call and talked to him. It's actually a yard located in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And he was like, yeah, I need someone, you know, to work on a small scale and kind of buy some small amounts of copper and aluminum. And I ended up asking him if there's any way we can transition into it, like a split 3 days in the yard and 2 days in the office. And so, you know, the 2 days I was in the office, if he was willing to kind of teach me about the business and trends and what he was looking at, and then I would help him on the labor side for 3 days a week. And he accepted. My summer after my junior year, my business internship was working in a scrapyard as a small scale buyer 3 days a week. And I worked in the office, kind of running the scale, learning about the business, kind of the money aspect of everything as well, 2 of the days. So it's been an interesting start, but I'm very, very grateful that it happened. I'm glad it happened. It was funny, I had to give a presentation at the end of the summer. So I ended up having my college professor had to come in and approve my internship. So he told me it was the most unique internship he had ever had to approve because he's never been to a scrapyard before, had no idea what went on. So, but that's kind of how I got into the industry. And so I, you know, went to school then my senior year, and it just so happens that Axiom had an opening that I found, applied, and kind of the rest is history.
So did you like have the plan to go into the recycling industry prior to that internship? Were you kind of like avoiding it? You said your dad is in the recycling industry. Was that always in the back of your mind?
I never knew I was going to be in the recycling industry, I guess you could say. I, you know, just like a lot of kids, I always admired my dad. And I always wanted to be, you know, a businessman, like a lot of people were when they were growing up. And so I always thought his job was cool. I went to scrapyards when I was younger because of things like take your child to work day and whatnot. So I was around it and I knew what he did. I wouldn't say I was definite, had always planned, I would say, to go into the scrap industry. I was really interested in finance and real estate. I went to school for supply chain management and logistics. And so after I kind of had that internship and kind of had a foundation of some of the raw materials and stuff like that, it was just a fit. I had a little bit of a foundation that a lot of people coming out of school didn't have, and already had, you know, some knowledge of the industry. And from there, you know, after I interviewed and whatnot, it was just, it was an easy transition and start.
Yeah, I bet. I know for me, I came into the industry completely blind. I had no background. So I was a little later than you were coming in, but, yeah, I think having that foundation, I can imagine, is pretty paramount for then finding that fit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, especially for someone in my role where I don't have a physical operation right now, we're pretty much just an office and traders. To kind of have the foundation of knowing the material I'm talking about, I've, you know, had hands-on experience with a lot of it. Now, that being said, there's a lot that I don't have hands-on experience, and that's one of the unique things about the industry is that you know, each day there's something new that comes up, or someone sends you a picture of a new material that you just have no idea what it is. So it's always good to have resources and whatnot. But yeah, no, having some sort of base was definitely a help.
Absolutely. So then I wanted to ask you, given, you know, this time you've moved through a couple roles and, you know, been given more responsibilities, but what would you say have been some of the challenges that you've had to overcome in your career so far?
Especially in this industry starting out, a challenge would have definitely been kind of the age gap. You know, when you're a younger guy walking into a room full of people who have been doing this for, you know, 20, 30 years, I think a lot of people tend to unintentionally, but they put you off. You know, you just don't have as much experience. You're not, you know, at the same level of knowledge and whatnot as a lot of them do. So when you're going into these meetings, you know, you're trying to meet people and whatnot, but some people don't always want to meet you. So that's definitely a challenge. And I know I've talked to some of my friends in the industry and they've kind of experienced similar, but there's always ways to kind of break through that barrier. And it's a lot of, you know, just kind of proving yourself. I think this industry can give you everything you want as long as you work for it, I guess you could say. You know, a lot of it's dependent on your willingness to learn and grow, both in the industry and, you know, personally. Other difficulties, I guess you would say, it would just be over the last 6 months, again, I mean, especially in my export role, things are changing daily or weekly. I have a good friend who works for Metal Conversions, Neil Chalupa, and we talk all the time. And it's like what we talked about yesterday is not relevant today. So it's just ever changing. So just kind of staying up to date and, you know, always thinking on your toes, I guess, is something that I would definitely say is important, and being able to have the flexibility and the knowledge to kind of figure out different routes for different problems.
Absolutely. The being able to adapt.
Absolutely.
So then you've already kind of highlighted some of the ways you've overcome these challenges, which I would mark as successes in and of themselves. But what have you been most proud of that you've accomplished so far?
I would say probably a lot of my personal growth. I wasn't super outgoing, I guess, especially in like a business setting. So kind of having the courage and the knowledge that I've gained over the last few years to kind of speak more and provide my opinion on different matters. I was always kind of the guy that would just sit and listen, which I think is good. But I think it's also good when you have the confidence to kind of provide your own opinion and have a thought towards a matter. So, you know, proud of myself for growing in that way. Obviously advancing kind of in my role has been an accomplishment in itself. To just kind of be able to take the steps forward and for, you know, the people above me to have the confidence in me to do so, has been good.
Yeah, absolutely. I know another success was that you were named to the Recycling Today and REMA 30 Under 30 Awards list from last year.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about that and what that process looked like for you?
Yeah, so it was really cool. I didn't know I was nominated, actually, until after the nominations had closed. And I found out I was nominated by a friend who I had actually done some business with and whatnot. So it was really cool. I thought the publication was awesome. I posted it all over my LinkedIn and Facebook just because I was so excited. I think everyone on that list is very well deserving. And I know a bunch of people on the list and whatnot. I think we're all pretty excited. I think that was the first year they had brought the publication back, or maybe it was the first time in itself of the publication, but I think it's awesome just to kind of recognize younger people who are, you know, trying to make a name for themselves in the industry and grow within the industry. It is a big industry, so, you know, to be one of the 30, it was a big accomplishment, and I was super appreciative of, you know, Recycling Today and everyone to have chosen me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the inaugural year of that list, and I think it goes to what you were saying about one of the challenges you faced being like a young person in those rooms with people who have definitely a lot more experience and have been doing this a lot longer. You don't necessarily get taken seriously all the time, but having lists like that, I feel like, and highlighting other young people who are making moves and working hard in the industry can only help maybe the perception shift a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had people that I didn't even know, honestly, reach out to me and tell me congrats and, you know, hey, we've been following you on LinkedIn, or, you know, we've seen you kind of at meetings, you know, we should meet up and talk at the next meeting about that, you know, would love to get to know you more. So from that standpoint, even just like a marketing perspective, it was great to be a part of.
For sure. Do you have any like upcoming projects, or are you involved in any industry associations that you want to plug or that you can talk about right now?
I'm a member of the Pittsburgh chapter of REMA. We've got a golf event coming up in the next couple weeks here. So if you are not already signed up, sign up. I've also been helping a little bit with the Great Lakes chapter event, which is going into its second year here. It was a great event last year. I know a few other groups of chapters already do events, so to kind of have one in the Northeast was a success. And I know Andrew Lincoln has been putting a lot of effort into that, and seems like it's going to be a great event for the second year, and I'm excited to be there and see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to switch topics a little bit, but I'll touch on something that you've mentioned a few times in your previous answers. So speaking to the current export and trade climate that we're in, how has that affected your day-to-day? I know you mentioned, you know, certain things you're talking about with friends in the industry are no longer applicable literally like a day later, but what has that looked like for you in your like day-to-day?
You know, it's affected the way you go about business, I guess you could say. And I guess when I say that, just the way you're looking at markets and spreads. You know, a month ago, or not a month ago, 6 months ago, I don't know if I'd have been able to spell the word arbitrage, whereas now I probably have it down pat just because it's become such a relevant term in the industry. You know, you're converting metric tons and LME prices more now than we really have ever before. There's different countries that are coming into markets for you know, different material that they've never been an aggressive buyer of. So just kind of readjusting your sights on, you know, sales and different avenues of purchasing as well. You know, in the States here, we use COMEX for copper and the London Metals Exchange for aluminum, but a lot of sales happening, especially in the export world, are only off LME right now, which, you know, outside of the US, they are using LME for copper. So just kind of, you know, understanding how to adjust your prices and understanding kind of where where the market's going, which, you know, the markets are so hard to predict. I think that if anyone knows where the markets are going, they're probably not involved in scrap metal anymore, you know, recycled goods. So it's just been it's been different, but it's been cool to see kind of the market change, I guess, in a way. I'm someone who likes challenges, and I like not being bored, I guess. And you could say with the ever-changing market, like I said, with things being different every day, it keeps you on your toes.
I bet. I bet. And then just so everyone who's listening knows, we are recording this on June 12th, so that changes are still to come when this does get published. But I also wanted to ask, what other major issues do you see impacting the scrap metal industry today?
Obviously refining, you know, the cleaning up of products, I think is going to play a big role in the future. Just being at, you know, the Recycled Materials Association convention a few weeks ago, a lot of things were based on, you know, sortation and how to make the cleanest product. And so I think that's going to have a big impact on, you know, the way things are recycled in the future and what's recycled. I think it'll also have an impact on what's manufactured in the future. You know, there's been for a long time now, people have been talking about plastic bottles. Eventually, you know, are plastic bottles going to go away? So I think there's a lot of things that could potentially change and be different in the future. It's just so hard to predict right now with, you know, all of the legislation that you have to go through and whatnot. But it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We are in an ever-changing like regulatory landscape at the moment. But then I wanted to ask, are you like plugged into the, different like technological advancements in the industry? Are you seeing anything in your, day-to-day that you're kind of intrigued by or you're hoping to see the industry embrace more?
I mean, I think the industry is doing a good job of kind of evolving and being more technologically savvy, especially, you know, especially on the yard level, you fight the jobs issue as far as not having enough personnel, to do everything you need to do in the yard. So we're gonna have to find a way to be more automated, both on the manufacturing and on the supply side, but the supply side in particular, I think, is very non-automated right now, I guess you would say. So finding ways to, you know, sort materials and upgrade packages autonomously is going to be a big factor to play in the next couple of years. I just saw some X-ray tech sorters and whatnot that are going to be able to sort by chemistry or color composition and things like that, I think, are going to really take the industry to the next level. So it just being at that convention, kind of seeing, you know, new technologies, even from the last couple of years. I mean, having only been really in the industry for the last 6 years, you'd be surprised, you know, how many changes from 2020 to 2025 there are just in a short period of time, and how quickly things advance as far as, you know, companies producing different products for things like sortation and shredding and whatnot.
And then, where do you see the industry headed in the next 5 years? I know it might be a little hard to predict given the turbulence right now, but if you had to, what would your projections look like?
I think the recycled materials industry is here to stay. I think that people underestimate how many different industries we impact. Sure, there's industries that you always think of, like, you know, copper with piping and ferrous metals with construction and, you know, building houses, but there's industries that we don't even really consider, like the medical industry, for example. A lot of the needles produced for hospitals and doctors are coming directly from recycling facilities. So I think that we're on a positive trend. I think there's definitely some legislation that's going to help us in the future as well. And, you know, having more manufacturing capacity here in the States, I think, will help a little bit as well. So I think we're trending in the right direction. I'm excited to see kind of some of the changes that happen in the next couple of years as far as, you know, plastic bottles. Are we going to see, you know, water being served in aluminum cans and whatnot, and kind of how to avoid issues with plastic labels and that sort of stuff is going to, you know, be a topic of discussion soon. So it's going to be interesting to see. I love the fact that the industry is ever changing. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but that's what makes it so fun.
Like you said, you don't like to be bored. So the change is welcome for sure.
Yes, yes, definitely. Not someone who loves to just sit at my desk and do nothing.
For sure, for sure. And I do think too, seeing the industry move forward, it's necessary, I think, for growth and for the success of all the companies working in the industry. We got to move forward.
Yeah, the world in itself, I think, has to move forward just to make changes to be more sustainable. So,
for sure. On a more personal level, what would you say your goals are for the next 5 years?
It's a good question. I would say just to continue to grow. Kind of as I stated before, every day I'm seeing something new, or the market's changing and I'm learning how to adapt to the new market. So just to grow professionally and personally within my company as well, and just kind of, you know, be adaptable. I think the markets are going to be changing in ways that, you know, a lot of people can't predict. So, you know, finding ways to stay on top of those trends and changes is going to be important. So just I would say to grow.
And then my last question for you is, you kind of already touched on this when you were describing your like entrance into the industry, but how do you think that the recycling industry can work to recruit more young professionals? You mentioned your internship. Do you think that more internship opportunities should be made available to like college age students? Where do you think the industry could improve there?
Yeah, I think the industry definitely misses the boat on a lot of young professionals. And I think a lot of that has to do with them just not knowing about the industry. I have so many great friends in the industry that I would have never met, you know, just by joining the industry. But things like, you know, college fairs or, you know, summer camps to kind of learn about the recycling industry and the impacts, you know, that the recycling industry makes on the world and the global climate is important. And I don't think it's talked about enough. You know, I'll be sitting at a restaurant with some of my friends back home, and I'm like, oh, look, that, you know, bar top is made out of copper or something. And they laugh at me. But it's like the recycled materials are all around you and you don't realize it. So I think just getting the name out there and getting the industry recognized on a higher level and being more in front of people is definitely important moving forward. I think a lot of people, especially, you know, younger people between the ages of, you know, 18 to 22, no one, I don't think, really knows what they want to do. So everyone's kind of trying to find what's going to interest them most. And I think a lot of people get bored easily. So an industry like this would probably benefit a lot of people of, you know, the changes and everything and, you know, being hands-on and having the ability to not always be sitting in front of your desk. If you're going for a tour, you're going to see, you know, one of your suppliers at a yard. I think a lot of people would love that. So it's kind of like I describe the industry a lot of times as being kind of like a hybrid between like a shirt and tie job, but also like a jeans and t-shirt job, right? Like sometimes I'm in the mud, sometimes I need to be in like a shirt and tie and be in a meeting. And I personally love that part of the industry.
I agree. I do think a lot of people would appreciate the versatility. And then there are so many different arms to the industry as well. You know, all the different commodities, they present different opportunities and different spheres to work in. And I do think that the opportunities out there are more than, they're very broad. I think that like people of many different like, education backgrounds, you have business, like you are a business student, so you have like people working in business roles, but then you know, we need engineers and we need people in HR and communications and stuff like that. I think that it is much broader. There are many opportunities. Like I don't think that a lot of people realize just how many opportunities there are.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in our industry, there's mass amounts of those jobs alone. Especially on, you know, the consumption side, you have quality engineers, you have, you know, process engineers, electrical engineers, you have all these people that are trying to work to get a certain process to work that, you know, again, we probably don't even consider. I think there's a lot of roles within the industry that we don't even consider.
Yeah, I think too, with like the shifting public perception about sustainability and, you know, environmentalism, you're seeing more, even just recycling companies come online with their own sustainability teams, like opening the door for
students studying environmental science and all of that. And I think that it goes to kind of what we were talking about, the industry's evolution forward and how that is creating more roles, even while we were also kind of mentioning the automation, taking some of that manual labor off the line. There are still many opportunities opening up, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a need for some sort of manual labor, even if it's someone, you know, overseeing the automation process. So just getting more people involved in the industry is important because, you know, you need people. People are what make a company successful, not necessarily the automation.
For sure. I completely agree with you. Well, do you have anything else you want to add or you want to talk about at the very end here?
I don't think so. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And everyone should give Recycling Today a follow on LinkedIn. And thank you guys for everything that you guys do as far as reporting. And, you know, feel free to reach out to me via LinkedIn or email. I'm always down to talk for anyone listening.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brandon. And thank you, everybody, for listening.